Blessing, the need to follow him, and follow means that you listen and you observe and you say, there's where he's going and that's where I'm going to go. You follow him. And it's been a great series, and we're still going to continue as we look today at the cure for the insecure. And do you ever wonder sometimes like why you do what you do? Have you ever, you know, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Have you ever been in a situation where you've sat down with someone and you've talked and you had coffee and then you get out to your vehicle and you go, why did I say that? Why did I have that discussion? Why did I go on about that? Or have you ever thought, why does everything seem to always happen to me and not to that person that I really don't like very much? I mean, have you ever just wondered what it is about you that is wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Why is always everything bad always happening to me? Have you ever felt that way? Well, this morning I want to talk about the cure for the insecure. I mean, I think we have an epidemic, really, of insecure people in our society today. I mean, so many people are insecure. They don't feel good about themselves. And it really causes lots of major, major problems in relationships. I don't know if you agree with that, but I know it to be true. You got to understand that being insecure is really a problem. You don't just want to go around and say, you know, I can't help it, I'm insecure. Because that is not God's will for your life, to be insecure. So I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And note this great passage, Romans chapter 14. In my NIV translation, it says at the top of this chapter, the weak and the strong in Romans chapter 14. And I'm going to start reading. There's a lot I could read here, but I'm going to start. I'm going to start at the beginning. Why not? It makes it nice. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat everything, but another person's, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. Man, I sure glad my mom didn't know that. The person who eats everything must not look down on that person who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the person who does. For God has accepted him. I love that. See, kids, when I don't eat my vegetables, God still accepts me. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Isn't that great? For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You sang about that this morning. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Now this is what I want you to hear this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Security is developed by knowing whose you are. By knowing who you belong to. See, part of your blood-bought inheritance is to be secure, to know who you are in Christ, to have a feeling of lightness or righteousness. You're not supposed to go around all the time feeling wrong about yourself. Come on. Amen? Do you know what? Most people do. Most people feel like, well, there's something wrong with me. I'm not who I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. I don't look the way I should. I don't, you know, like I put this tie on and I'm going, is this okay? Does it match? Do I look good? How are my shoes? My shoes aren't polished. I need to polish them. Actually, I do need to polish them. You know? I hope by the grace and mercy of God that you can get over this today, because it affects your prayer life. It affects your ability to be promoted in life. It affects your personal relationships. It certainly steals your joy and your peace when you don't feel good about who you are. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now you think about it for a moment. We often handle our security by thinking we need something else to fill it. We drown our sorrows in drink or food. I mean, when we start thinking bad about who we're angry with, what someone said or has done to us, we reach for the fridge door. We do. I'm so mad. I'm going to have a peanut butter sandwich with ice cream. I'll show him. You just watch. I'm going to have that chocolate bar and he's going to watch me eat it too. And I won't stop when I'm done the box. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say it's joy and then peace and then righteousness. It says, number one, righteousness. Number two, peace. Number three, joy. I think they're there for a reason, in that order. I believe they're put in that order because that's how they are to come in life. I mean, how can we ever have peace if we don't know that we're righteous or made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ? I'm made right with Jesus. I'm made right. I've been blood bought. I want you to understand this morning that being righteous doesn't mean that you are totally perfect and that you have no weaknesses or you have no flaws, because you do. It's so encouraging. Being righteous is, first of all, it's a state that God, by his grace, puts us into through the blood of Jesus Christ. We receive that by faith believing. I believe that because the Bible says that Christ became sin. He made me righteous. That I am. Look at verse 9. For this very reason, Christ died, returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You're blood bought. Do you find that encouraging today? To know that God accepts you, flaws and all. I was going to say warts, but I have a few warts and I don't want to say that to you. You get this? Being righteous doesn't mean that you are totally perfect, and that you have no weakness and no flaws, because you do. See, now if I won't ever believe that, then I will never begin to do what's right in my life. See, we first have to know that we have become right. Then if we know we're right, it's an automatic response to do right. But so often we do things and then we come walking away. Why, Lord? Oh, why me? My. I said it again. I did it again. Why is it always happening to me? Why is everybody always picking on me? Why can't I do anything right? Why am I so stupid and silly? Take a look at this video. You'll understand. Take a look at this. Has that ever happened? I'll tell you, there are moments where that's happened. Not that, but, you know, because that wasn't me. I mean, I'd never do something that's... Anyway, boy, I tell you, there are things that we do, and after we've done them, we go, why? You know why? Because Satan wants you to be insecure. He wants you against yourself. God is for you, but Satan is against you. Do you want to get in agreement with God, or do you want to be in agreement with the devil? I'm going to say it again. God is for you. The Bible says that. Therefore, I don't care how I feel. God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, what can any person do unto me? Boy, you can be free today. Did you know that? Why don't you get radically free from what people think? I think we just ought to have a huge freedom session here today and get rid of the habit, the addiction of being approved by everybody, because that isn't going to work. It's true, isn't it? We want everybody to just look at us from head to toe and go, wow, perfect. And when you do any kind of job, we want people to go, ooh, that's perfect. Everything we do, the way we look, every reaction, we'll say, perfect. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but you're an imperfect human being. And you better praise God that you are, because if you weren't, then you wouldn't need Jesus Christ. He didn't come for the well. He came for the sick. He came for the hurting. He came for the suffering. He came for the downtrodden. He came for the sinner. He came to deliver those from addiction. He came for the beaten. He came for those who need him. He came for the insecure. He came for you and for me. We need Jesus. I'm a very needy person. And I tell the Lord many times, you're looking at a desperate man, Lord. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And if you really mean it, you say it like you mean it. I need Jesus. See, do you need Jesus? Because I do. Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and continually intercedes for us. Well, I figure that if Christ continually intercedes for us, then we must continually need it in our life. I need Jesus. That's why following Jesus, this whole series has been so important. Because we're made right with God through Jesus Christ. I mean, I tell you, when Jesus died on that cross, God ripped the temple curtain in two for us, for ordinary people, to come and find freedom and security in him. I need Jesus. Old average you, plain old ordinary me, plain old ordinary average, you go right into the presence of God, and the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Then we begin to think right. We begin to think right, and we begin to talk right. I want you to look at these verses. Verse 11, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Then it goes on. Give an account. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Watch how you talk. Watch how you think. When we begin to think right, we begin to talk right, and then we begin to live and act right. Nothing pleases God more than that. When you start feeling wrong about who you are, you need to just toss that aside, those thoughts, and you need to say, I need Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I'll tell you, that's one piece you don't need for the journey. It'll just wear you down and down and down and down and down. till you can't take living with yourself anymore. Security is developed by knowing whose you are, but it's also developed by ending the complication in who you are. I don't know about you, but I have so often complicated things in my life. I believe that I'm a rotten sinner, then I'm just going to keep on sinning. I'm going to keep sinning, and I'm going to keep sinning, because what we do comes out of our who we are. What we do comes out of our who. If you want to be unhappy, you just keep doing something that's not right for you. Just try putting on. How many here have you ever tried on something that doesn't fit? And you bought it, right? You said, well, this jacket, how does it look on me? And your spouse goes, that is way too small, or else you're way too big. And, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that to be offensive. I guess it was. I don't know. And then you have this small jacket that you're wearing, this small suit coat, and you look at it, and your spouse says, no, that's just way too small for you. And you go, great, it's painful too, so I'm going to buy it. Because I like pain. I like suffering. I like stuff that's small on me. It's like shoes. How many of you have ever bought a pair of shoes? Three of you. I'm sorry for the rest of you. Well, I used to sell shoes, and you know, one of the worst mistakes that I made is I didn't measure my own feet. And so I was just, my mother told me I was a size 7 shoe, so I've been wearing size 7 shoes. And my toes all went like this. Like, you don't need to see them because, you know, it's horrific. And my toes all kind of went like this, right? They're kind of curved to fit in my shoes. And the ends of my shoes, like, they start flapping. You see, this one's flapping. See, so they can fit in here, these size 7s, because I'm a size 8. And I always wondered why I was always uncomfortable when I walked. It's because I'm wearing a size 7 shoe. When I should really be wearing a size 8 shoe. I bought 8s now, so I'm okay. Except these ones, because they're really nice, because they've already expanded out, so I'm good. But it's amazing. We don't want shoes that are not comfortable. You need shoes that are really comfortable if you really want to walk right. We need to get comfortable spiritually with who we are. In our personal time with God, we need to be comfortable. You know, maybe you need to come to God and say, God, I want to relax. I just want to relax. I want to be relaxed in my walk with you, God. I want to be relaxed with your calling on my life. I just want to be relaxed, God. I don't want to be tied up in knots anymore. Because we're so often, I love Jesus. Because this is how I'm supposed to act. Because it's uncomfortable. And I'm hurting. But I can't let anybody know. I gotta act like I'm comfortable. Because that's what religious people do. Have you had enough of being tied up in knots in your life? I'm not tied up in knots anymore. There's always room for improvement. I'm not tied up. I found out a very simple word called simplicity. I was just talking about it this week with my spouse. I can't complicate things anymore. Because I was always complicating everything. I'm trying to get my hands and stuff to read up on that because I'm determined that I want to be simple. Not, you know. You're all laughing. You're there already. What? No, I do. I'm starting to understand that's the only way you can really walk in the presence of God is when you simplify your life and not complicate it. We have too many complications. I mean, when you really sit and think about the complications, it's usually something that we've initiated, we're responsible for it, and it's outside of what God has for our plan, for our life. Simplify your life. Everything just gets so complicated. Satan wants to complicate your relationship with Jesus Christ. He really does. Get something new today. Take this with you. Satan wants your prayer life to be complicated. He wants your spiritual life to be complicated. He wants your spiritual gift to be complicated. Satan wants your relationships to be complicated. He's out to get you living a complicated life so that you're insecure with who you are. That's why it's so necessary to follow Jesus. Follow him. That means be like him. You know, God is not negative. Do you know that? He's positive because he positively loves you. He positively cares about what you walk through. He positively thinks the best of you. God's not in the negative. So quit thinking negative thinking. Trust him with your life. And trust means you don't know everything. You can't know everything, but you trust the one who does. I mean, people go to seminars on the anointing of God, and they never feel the anointing because they're such a grouch. You know? Oh, I like the seminar, it's really good. How long have you been a Christian? Can't you tell? 25 years. Oh yeah, I can see by the bottom lip on this corner you're pouting more than I am. Most of the answers we're looking for are very simple things. But we make everything so complicated. You have to live this way. You have to do this. If you want to be free, then you've got to be in bondage to these things. You have to go to church. I'm glad you're here. I really am. You have to read your Bible for 17 minutes, 0.5 seconds every day. You have to pray to God and you have to say to him these things and follow this formula, because if you don't, I don't know if you're going to have salvation. That's not Jesus. He says, just watch how you think. Just watch how you talk. Just be careful. Simplify your life. Don't worry about things. And I'll look after you, God says. In Hebrews chapter 5, it's actually on your bulletin, verse 13, it's a great verse. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. I like that. Not able to talk yet. How many of you caught on the news that lady who had a migraine? I said migraine for those who... Yeah, did you catch? I mean, she was struggling, and she, young lady, news lady, and she got up, and she was doing the news about the, I think it was Grammy Awards, and she said, we had a very, very, and then all of a sudden she lost how to talk. And she knew what she wanted to say, but she was losing what she was saying. I mean, as a kid, I had trouble keeping quiet, but I had a problem talking, but sometimes I get my words mixed up, and you know that. I'd say mug for gum and gum for mug and all that kind of stuff, and it was great because I get mugs instead of gum, and you know, it was all backwards. And a lot of times Christians, especially those who are new, they don't know how to talk about themselves. They talk out of their emotions. They talk out what other people have said about them over the years. They talk about themselves in light of their mistakes. They don't talk about themselves as one who knows Jesus and who's been redeemed, who's been blood bought. And I think the reason why new Christians struggle with that is because the older Christians just don't know how to talk. Because we feel insecure in ourselves. So we say, you've got to do these things and you will measure up for the kingdom. When we say that, we're saying, if you do these things, which is eat and drink, by the way, then you'll experience the righteousness of God. When God says, no, don't go to the fridge, don't look for other things, he says, you will experience righteousness by understanding you've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Romans 8:1 says, I'm free from any condemnation. John 8:36 says, I am free indeed. God loves me. I'm his child. I'm his special child. I'm the apple of God's eye. He made me on purpose. I have value. I have worth. I've been made right with God. I'm accepted by him. I've got a new start in life. I've got a future. All those things are in Scripture. God says, you are important enough that I sent my son to die for you. That's how much you mean to me. Start talking about yourself in a good way. Can you hear me? No matter how many open doors God gives you, no matter how many Bible studies you go to or somebody preaches to you, no matter how much fellowship you have, if you won't change the way you're thinking and change the way you talk about your own life, there is nothing God can do for you. Nothing. I think you need to come to God. You need to say, I'm going to talk right about myself. In fact, why don't you say right now, I'm going to talk right about myself. Say, I'm going to talk right about myself. I'm going to give you a second chance to do that with enthusiasm. I'm going to talk right about myself. Right on. That means you'll never say I'm stupid. You'll never say I don't do anything right. You'll never say I'm ugly. You'll never say I'll never get it. You stand in front of the mirror and you say, I'm just right. God's working on me and things are changing. But he loves me. He cares about me. And he's bought me with his blood. Let's pray. Good news. There's good news. If you're feeling like you don't measure up, in Jesus you do. If you don't feel like you do anything right, Jesus says you do. If you don't think you look right, God says, I created you, didn't I? God can heal you this morning from being insecure. And that means doing what people want because you're cleaving to people. That means just simplifying your life so simply that it's just Jesus who's your focus. And that means you'll start talking right about yourself, thinking right about yourself. And you won't be so concerned anymore with the way other people are and trying to make them into something so you're comfortable with who you are. You're beautifully, wonderfully created. God made you with amazing, such amazing possibility and potential. He has a wonderful, bright future in store for you. But you got to get rid of that stuff that is always trying in your life, that you're always carrying around. And you need to pick up the right pieces in your life and think good about who you are, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you want to say, Jesus, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know even how to read the Bible. I don't know all of that stuff. I don't get it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and step out, God. And I don't know, maybe you need to say, I'm going to talk to you, God, more. And I don't know what that means. Maybe it's just talking to him every day. I don't know. Maybe it's saying, God, I'm going to trust you more. And I know that means I don't know what's going on, but you do. So I'll trust you, God, with what's going on in my life because you see significance in me. Maybe you need to say that. God, I never thought I was significant till today. And now I know I am. Maybe you're saying, I always run to the fridge instead of running to you, Jesus. Whenever a problem comes up, in my relationships, my job, maybe even in my church and my ministry, I always run to someone else, something else, instead of you, Jesus. And maybe today it's just to commit to loving who you are enough that you'll trust Jesus with who you are. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're coming to him in some way today and you're just dealing with stuff, that's great. God is honoring what you're talking to him about. God, it's hard. The world vies for attention. The world vies for things that sometimes we can't even measure up. Look around, Lord, it's so complicated. God, may we just simply understand that we are blood bought. That the kingdom of God is not about going to something else. It's about understanding that we are declared right in your eyes. God, we just pray today. I just pray that there would be a fresh wind and fresh fire among your people. Not just here, but those even watching on the internet. Lord, just whisper to us. May we hear you. May we know we're declared righteous in your eyes. May we walk with peace that you've given us and with the joy in serving you. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said.